Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to cheat once again. We have the lesson from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to read on through verse 17 because I'd like to hear the text in a little bit larger context yet. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life, but now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, there's a lot of homework, right? Anybody doing that? Anybody doing all that stuff? Oh, I try. I know I can't succeed, but I try. Well, it's too late. Because that is us. That is us as Christians. We are people who have been brought from death to life. And as Paul talks about in the very end of chapter 2, he says, if you are baptized, then let's find out what that means about your life. The world would say we have to try to get better. We have to try to be more loving and caring and understanding. And it's very easy to read all this and say, those are nice, lofty goals. I sure want to try to do that myself. And they are fine and lofty goals. And people around the world seek to be loving and understanding and caring and forgiving until we run into a wall, usually some other person who treats us in a way that we say, well, that's not very loving. Why should I love you if you're going to treat me that way? And the walls go up and the barriers go up, and then all the rest of it happens as well. That same barrier can go up between us and God. We can think that if we simply do everything that God wants us to do, that life will turn out the right way, that God will bless us in the right way, and it can be that something happens that interrupts that from God as well, something happens that we didn't expect, and then, well, if that's the way God is, why should I love him? Why should I worship him? Why should I be one of his? We are not in neutral in this world. Our old sinful nature, the one that's been crucified with Christ, is still around. We never get rid of it this side of the grave. But our new life, the one that comes from being in the heart of Christ, is already there. Every one of us can hear this and say, there are still things about my life that are part of that old sinful nature that I enjoy, or that I am attracted to, or that seem like the proper thing to do in life. Even if we would be ashamed if anybody publicized them, and if anyone knew what was really in our heart and our minds and our thoughts and even our actions. So we learn that sometimes the best we can do is try to hide those things. And Paul writes and he says, those things that are part of our life against God are not just hidden from others and then it's okay. The power of them is gone. The power of them has been taken away. The good news sometimes is hard to take because we say what comes front and center for me is all the things where I see myself at enmity with others or trying to grab for what I can get. How can it be that these things are already there? And yet that's what Paul tells us about. He says, you've been died for. Someone's dead because of you. And that someone who died, Jesus Christ, has died because of your rebellion against God in your thoughts and words and deeds, in your very nature. I remember reading many years ago about a man who ran out in the street to push a little boy out of the way of an oncoming car and was killed. I'm sure that little boy tells that story ever and again. I'm alive because that man pushed me out of the way. That's what it is to live our Christian life. In spite of the fact we may not understand it or know the depth of it, God himself pushed his own son into the path of his wrath against us, his just wrath for us, thinking somehow we could be independent and on our own or control God when we want something from him. And that cross is not just an instrument of torture. It is an instrument of love. God's deep love for us, where he will not let his justice and his judgment about what is real in us be the final word. He wants us to know that we are at peace. And that when it says, clothe yourselves with all of these things, it simply says, this is what has been put into your heart. Let that be what guides your behavior. To think inside, to think and reflect and say, is this something that comes out of my old nature or my new one? In my own life, what usually happens, I find, is my first reaction is the old sinful one. Get back at them. Hate them. Grab for what you can. Get what you can now. And only upon a little bit of reflection do I say, well, that's not what I've been made to be. And thus, when Paul says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and celebrate the oneness that we have, gather together here, it is so that his love can wash us and cleanse us again and again. The world doesn't tell us the story that we hear when we read the scriptures and when we worship. But the Holy Spirit gathers us together so we can celebrate that, so we can have our hearts settled, so we can know that God's not chasing after us because we haven't lived that to perfection, but that he does give us the chance to forgive each other as we have been forgiven, to join in worship and praise and celebration. Many people have cited the fact that Martin Luther said the small catechism that he wrote would occupy his attention for his whole life, even though he wrote the words down to reflect on and understand the greatness that he was marked for all eternity by the death and resurrection of Jesus, for me, not only the catechism, but this letter comes very close. I will never understand the depth of what is here. I come to it again and again because it's good news. And it says things are changed. We are at peace in the depth of our God's heart. He loves us forever. And that then lets everything else fit in around it. Everything else to know that as we've been loved, we get to love. And that we reflect on all of our thinking and speaking and doing and say, is this consistent with that new life I have? And if it is, we say, thank you, Lord. You honor me to let me live that life out. If it is not, then instead of saying, I'll try harder, say, Lord, root out in me those rebellious things that go against you. Because I rejoice when I love and serve you, because I know it's going to be that way for all eternity. So in some ways, living a Christian life is practicing up for heaven, already being now what we will be to each other in all eternity. And anything that will not be held against another in eternity need not be held against each other now. This is not just a pep talk, not just a nice little moral speech. This says that we've been brought from death to life, and that that means everything for every single day of our life. How we live our life with our time and our talents and our treasures, how we care for each other and love each other, how we look for ways in which we can care for others for whom he died. And so I would invite you, for the rest of your life, to take time to read Colossians and to be built up by the joy of what this tells us about who we are and whose we are. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.